I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best-known works of poetry in Australia by Dorothea McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Awe-inspiring, surreal, breathtaking, these are words that are used to describe the Australian land and its coastline. The Great Barrier Reef, located in the Coral Sea off the northeast coastline, is the largest natural feature on Earth, stretching more than 2,300 kilometres. The Australian outback, with its spectacular scenery and primal mythology, has long been revered as one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Heading further inland to Australia's red centre, Eyre's Rock or Uluru, a giant sandstone monolith, is a spectacular sight which changes colour according to the position of the sun. The massive rock domes date back 500 million years and are rich in indigenous artwork and lore. Have you ever heard a kookaburra laugh? This is just one of the fascinating animals unique to Australia. And then there is the kangaroo, perhaps the most famous Australian animal. This loving marsupial adorns the Australian coat of arms because it never takes a backward step, always moves forward. And if you ever visit Australia, don't miss the opportunity to snuggle up with a cuddly koala. It will take you straight to heaven. Australians have a warm, light-hearted and generous nature. Anywhere you go, you will be greeted with a friendly, "G'day, mate." It's comforting to know that you have 20 million friends who will always be there if needed. When the bushfires broke out and continued to burn for 49 days in Victoria, Australia, in late 2006 and early 2007, Supreme Master Ching Hai expressed her concerns and sent help to the victims. Our association members in Sydney and Melbourne quickly contributed financially to the Country Fire Authority and local fire station to help out with the firefighting efforts. To this day, our association members continue to be active members in the community and help out with the promotion of a healthy lifestyle through the vegetarian diet at different events throughout the year. And now, please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled "You Are the Supreme Master," delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Brisbane, Australia, on March 20, 1993.
Yesterday, one of our fellow practitioners asked me, he said, "Oh, Master, you have brought back this fantastic method of practice and we have derived so much benefit from it. We don't know how to express all this, but we know it's wonderful. So why don't we organize something? We have to organize a lineage. So we continue to keep this method going on because it's beneficial to mankind." He was so enthusiastic and he talked with all hands and feet and all that. "We have to do it, we have to do it." And then I say, no, we don't need to. We don't need to. Whatever comes is God's arrangement. If we find a successor who is equally experienced in this path, who have traveled all the way up and down, and then can guide other souls up and down to the kingdom of God, then it's fine. Then we continue to propagate this method. If not, it is no use. It's not the method. It is the experienced guide that is important. If you have a good car and no good driver, it's not the car alone, it's the driver. So therefore, sometimes people wonder, why is that the lineage has been broken. For example, if Jesus had taught the same method, Buddha has taught the same method, why couldn't we find that in the Christian kingdom? Some people ask me. I say it is because sometimes it's like the river. It is disappear into the earth and then appear in another corner of the world. It's not broken. It flows all the time from God, but it just changes direction sometimes. So suppose I'm a master, okay, suppose. And then I have not found any equally experienced student to pass on the successorship to continue to guide the souls back to the kingdom of God. Then okay, our lineage is kaput, finished this life. Yeah. Maybe people still derive some benefit from the power for maybe a few hundred years, but that's it, finished. And then people probably establish some Qinghaiism or make some church for me and put my bronze statue on it and worship. And that's finished with the path. And then it starts to be idol worship again. And no living connection inside. For that I can't help. I won't be there to stop them. Even if I want to stop, it's not easy. You know it very well. Human strong will. So now suppose our lineage is finished, so-called broken. But in 100 years or 50 years later, some of my very young initiates probably continue practicing 50 years or 60 years later, he got enlightenment. From 6 years until 60 years old, maybe he arrived there. And then even without me, he became a master. Without my present guidance, he's still connected inside. And then he suddenly became master in another place. And then people would say, oh, it's a new one, new religion, a new tradition. It's not necessary so. Now, because we have a lot of communication through the media and the television and all that, so we can know who is going where and doing what. But in the old time, if you are disconnected from one country to the other, it's very difficult to communicate again. Then we might not know that the younger disciples has now reached maturity and then became a master of his or her own right. And then some other followers of the Qinghaiism, so-called Qinghaiism, suppose, and you look upon that one properly as a stranger. Followers doesn't mean disciples. Follower is the one who believes in a living grace of God through a master, and therefore derives some benefit personally or just for some immediate circles. Yeah. But not be able to be a master because has not been directly communicated with the master power, just through another means. Therefore, initiation, it is to remind you of your greatest inheritance, and then you make use of your treasure every day instead of relying on any master at all, whether dead or alive. That is the purpose of our practicing method. And there's no other purpose beside that. We have so much suffering in this world, and we have a lot of unsuccessful adventure, and we blame maybe God sometimes for not blessing us. But actually, we should blame ourselves for not making use of the power that God has given us since time immemorial. Because of not using this power, we are still here. Because of not using this power, we are suffering, or we see the suffering around us. Because of not using this power, we have wars with one another. Only when we use this power, then we truly have everlasting peace. But it is also better that even some portion of the world population use this power. is already very, very uplifting for our earth. Otherwise, it would become hell. Hell is the place where no light can penetrate, where the people completely forget the kingdom of God, forget their supreme position in the universe, and undergo untold suffering from their own illusionary conscience. They punish themselves because they think they are guilty. The people who are enlightened do not think of guilt as such. They will see everything as a drama, a play from God. And therefore, they try to play accordingly. Even if they have to undergo suffering as other people, their spiritual power is so strong that they do not feel much effect. Therefore, Jesus, in such tremendous, painful situation, he still be himself. He still very centered. And not pray for himself, but pray for others. Pray to the Father to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And forgive and bless the fellow next to him that he may know God. This is the greatness of Jesus. He remained always even in any situation. That greatness also lies within us. That's what makes the saints different from us. That's what makes us worship all the saintly personage throughout the ages. But it is better that we become one, like them. And then we can truly worship them, because we truly understand their greatness. Otherwise, we only understand intellectually, literally, but we do not know, we do not realize it. How we could make use of this greatness to benefit ourselves, benefit our relatives and friends, and benefit the world at large. So we would like to invite you to try to remember your greatness, because you're not born to die. You're not born just to undergo stress at work and responsibility of raising children alone. You're born to know the greatness of our Father. We are born to bless the world with our knowledge of this supreme power within. We are not born just a few decades and then die. Waste of our human life, waste of God's creative power, waste of our heroic ideals inside our heart. We have to realize what we dream. We have to do what we wish to do. And if we haven't done it, we will do it now. Through our supreme wisdom, not through our habitual thinking and organization. Everything we learn with human intellect, with human system, is only be useful at a human level. If we want to be greater than that, we have to learn something superhuman, which we have. The human body is not only our apparatus, only our office. It's not our real self. Otherwise, somebody lie there dead. You can't make him eat. You can't make him speak. You can't make him think, even though his brain is still there. His heart is still there, but it doesn't pump anymore. What makes the body function? That is a supreme power. We make use of it before it's too late. Before we have to undergo suffering again of birth, death, and old age to relearn all this from ABC. It's all right if you want to come back and learn. But if you do not want to, if you want to begin right now, we sincerely invite you, with all love and nothing else, No money, no fee, now, before, after, between, and after death even. No fee at all. And truly, the Master Power will help you all the way through until you reach heaven and never leave you or forsake you till the end of the world. So it's up to you to make choice. And I leave time for your question. Thank you for your loving attention.
What do the nations have to do to stop killing each other?
Very good question. People make war with each other because they identify too much with the bodies, with the immediate need of the bodies, with all the demands from the bodies. Therefore, they kill each other. The only and the best solution is to find a way to realize that we are not the body. Therefore, no one opposes us, and we are in no danger economically or politically. Enlightenment is the only answer. I mean, enlightenment is the true answer and the lasting answer. Otherwise, we keep continuing identify with the bodies. Therefore, we try to fulfill the needs of the body, for we worry that other people will come and steal our crop, take our wives, or invade our nations. Some nations make war with each other because they want to expand their economical power. And in order to feed their overpopulated country, they make war with another nation to gain more land, to gain more economical market, etc. It all has to do with the body. Even though we say it is the difference between idealism, but it's all amounted to bodily demands. So therefore, if we are enlightened at all, then these wars will stop by themselves. We will realize truly the brotherhood of mankind.
Where did you get your spiritual knowledge?
From inside. Where I get the knowledge from, you can get. Maybe you need a teacher in the beginning just to show you how, or to avoid some pitfalls, where to pay attention, but that's all. But the knowledge all inside you. Just have to take some time every day to discover it and make use of it. Suppose you have a big storeroom and inside they're full of wheat flowers. And you never have time to look into it. Just stay outside and busy thinking, I'm hungry. I never know how to make use of the wheat flowers in the storeroom. Then it is no good. All the knowledge lies within us. That's where I get them from.
Can you tell us about God the Father? What is He like?
He is like you. He has two parts. Good part and the naughty part. The naughty part he used to make life going on in bitter and sweet and in all the follies, so to amuse whoever like to see these things. The good part he used to give us strength, spiritual knowledge, and all the holy, noble things that we can do. If we say God is all good and love is fine also, but then we can't explain for all the devil in this world. There is actually no evil in this world. It's just that the way we look at things, and we do not know how to play the game with God, that things turn sour and become negative. If we learn to contact God, things reconstruct themselves, and then we see things in a different light. We know how to mix them. Just like some so-called poison even. The scientists know how to use it for the benefit of people's health. But if use it in a layman's manner, it kills. So God is not a person or not even a non-person. is a supreme power that pervades the whole universe, and we are within it. Also, we are part of it. Also, we are the totality of it. We know this God according to our diligence in searching, according to the grace of God, which comes in proportion to our sincerity of our thirst of knowledge of the kingdom of God within. That is temporarily explained about the so-called God. Otherwise, if you look at your neighbor, if you want to see God, it's next to you. Look at each other and try to see whether you find God within him, because the Bible says so. When you do something good and noble, with all love to your neighbors or to someone you don't know, that is when you realize you are God, or that is when God within you awakes. When you do something you think is undesirable or harming some person, that is when you allow the naughty part of God to take the upper hand. But this is all the game anyhow. We have to be enlightened to tolerate both and to turn bad into goodness.
You spoke about using sound and vibration as meditation. Which mantras do you use, and why have you not shared them with us?
I'm willing to share with you, but it takes a few hours with me so that I can tell you the whole process, which elements to avoid and what to try to remember and all that. We don't use any mantra. The sound comes from itself at the time of initiation. You just sit quiet and it will come. And I'll show you how to sit quiet. It's very simple, but we have forgotten, because we're too accustomed with being busy, with being complicated, and with running here and there. So we don't know how to sit still anymore. We thought when we sleep, that is when we sit still. Or when we don't do anything, that's when we sit still. It is not so. There is a little connect. And that's what separates heaven and earth. And we will show you, okay? But if you have time with us, if you're truly interested, and later on, after the lecture, if you want to know the secret, I'm willing to share with you, okay? At the time of initiation, we have to sit together for a couple of hours, tell you everything about the pitfalls on the path, about where we go wrong, and where we should pay attention, and that's all. But the enlightenment, the sound or the light, comes alone. Not because of these instructions. Comes alone. The enlightenment comes alone. It is the grace of God. It's our self, our wisdom self awakens.
I also have been initiated into light and sound meditation, have been doing that meditation for nearly 10 years. Was told when I was initiated I could reach enlightenment. Did it faithfully, still not enlightened? What makes your system superior?
First, why I regard this method as best, because I have tried various methods. And so our fellow practitioners, many of them also practice different methods, and they haven't arrived what they arrived now. Yeah. And also I myself searched for the truth since childhood and practiced various ways and means to reach God. But for this, I got it fastest and quickest and safest. Therefore, I say to you, through experiences. And the light and sound you have been initiated into, I do not know whether it is heavenly light and sound or just the outer mantra and the candlelight. Many people teach people also to look at the candlelight and then to imagine many things, visualize the light and visualize the sound. Maybe it's a little bit different from us. The light and the sound comes alone, without visualization, without any outer aids, without anything to do physically or mentally at all. All comes purely from God. There are many systems they call also light and sound, but they told people to go on the beach and listen to the sound of the sea waves on the beach. No, we listen it inside. The sea waves are inside. The church bell are all inside. Without any effort, without any mantra, without any physical action. Because if we have kingdom of God inside, it all came from the kingdom of God, not the human effort.
Why do you regard natural form healing as magic?
Did I say magic? Probably as a spirit for healing. Yes. Because if we lay hands on someone and heal him, we steal the position from God. We make the person be thankful to us instead of thanking God. Or turning within and try to get the healing source of healing inside. It's probably not very idealistic. And also, it depleted us from our spiritual power, which we need to claim back to our glorious kingdom of God. There are different healings, maybe some magical healing also. Magical healing, sometimes people can heal today, but it comes back again tomorrow or next month in the same form or in different form, a kind of postponement, not a true healing. True healing comes when you don't heal. Like somebody just touched Jesus' garment and she is healed. And Jesus never claimed credit for it. He said, your faith has made you whole. You see, he accredited to the Father. And that is the best healing. Many of my fellow practitioners claim that I healed them through my transformation body, so-called. I don't know nothing about it. I say it's your virtues, it's your wisdom that is awakened, that works for you, through whichever form. It might go through the form of Jesus, might go through my bodily form, but that has nothing to do with individual. And that is the best healing. When you heal the soul forever, and then that soul is forever free from bodily discomfort and never die again. Forever in glory. That's the best healing. Therefore, I say refrain from spiritual healing. But if that's absolutely necessary in some case, then you do so at your spiritual expenses. And you might be retarded somehow in the progress. But try never to claim credit for it. Otherwise, we will get the karma very heavily for interfering with the law of nature.
We thank you for your kind company on today's Words of Wisdom. Please tune in again on Tuesday for the conclusion of You Are the Supreme Master. And now, please stay tuned for A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, only on Supreme Master Television. May God bless you and your loved ones.